You've crushed it. You've made millions. But let us ask you something. If you stop working today, how long would it all last? For most people, that answer, it's not great.
Right now, everything you have built, your house, your car, the vacations you love, relies on you. If you stop, the money stops.
That's exactly why we created a community for people just like you. No fluff, no hustle or energy, just real self-made millionaires helping each other create wealth that actually lasts.
Ready to build a legacy? Join us now at join.builtbeyondme.com and take the first step towards lasting wealth.
Imagine this, no more grinding for another 10, 15, or 20 years just to keep everything afloat. What if your wealth could start working harder than you do?
In our community, we'll show you how to invest in income-producing assets like multifamily properties and build-to-rent developments. No messy tenant management, no complicated learning curve, just real scalable wealth.
It's not about making millions anymore. It's about keeping it, growing it, and passing wealth beyond you.
Don't just make millions, make them last. Build a future, build freedom. Join our community now at join.wealthbeyondme.com. And that is join.wealthbeyondme.com.
Many real estate startups crash and burn in year one. And sure, there are millions of reasons why. Bad marketing, bad timing, bad partners. If your real estate business is struggling, there's one thing that fixes everything: profit.
Tommy and I'm Nancy. Together we make the Kitty Sisters. We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio. We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investment. This is Cashflow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.
Today, I'm going to break down something that, if you get right, will take your business further than anything else you're doing right now. I talk to investors, syndicators, guys trying to do big things, and almost none of them focus on the thing that actually matters. They obsess over acquisitions. They brag about asset management fee. They flex about how many units they control. But they miss the point. Profit is the game. Profit is the scoreboard. Profit is when all your work, raising your money, closing deals, running properties actually turn into money you keep. Not acquisition fees. That's just a signing bonus. Not the asset management fees. That's just a salary. And how do I know how to generate profits? Simple. In the last 6 years, I went from zero to over $400 million in multifamily real estate. Thousands of doors acquired, millions exited. $45.2 million to be exact. There are only four crucial pillars that create profit. Miss one and you may not notice right away, but eventually cracks form, stress builds, and collapse can follow. Before we dive into the four pillars that hold about truly resilient multifamily investment, there's a story you need to hear. In the heart of Manhattan, one of the most advanced skyscrapers ever built was hiding a deadly secret, endangering thousands of lives. From the outside, it looked flawless. But inside, one overlooked weakness almost brought it all crashing down. This is a story of Citicorp Center and a perfect warning for why the strength of anything, whether it's building or an investment, always depends on parts you don't see. When Citicorp Center was built in 1970, it was hailed as an engineering marvel, a skyscraper perched on stilts to protect a small historical church at its base. To pull this off, engineers had to carefully coordinate multiple critical systems: the central core, the mid-side stilts, the chevron bracing for wind and gravity load, and even tuned mass damper to control sway. Each element was vital. Even if one component was overlooked, the entire structure would be at risk. And that's exactly what happened. A small change, bolting the chevrons instead of welding them, compounded by an overlooked stress factor, quartering winds almost doomed the entire tower. One minor seeming flaw threatened to collapse a skyscraper into Manhattan streets, endangering thousands of lives. It didn't matter how strong the rest of the building was. Failure in just one system could have brought down everything. Now, why do I bring this up? Because multifamily investments are built exactly the same way. A truly profitable, resilient multifamily investment doesn't stand on one or even two pillars. It requires all four critical components working together, each one just as important as the other. If one pillar is missing or weakened, the entire investment risks structural failure, whether that's underperformance, cash flow collapse, or even total loss. Many investors obsess over just the first pillar, but neglect the other three, assuming they'll just hold up. But the truth is, all four pillars must be rock solid and working in concert. Otherwise, it's like removing the welding from the skyscraper and hoping it still stands in a storm. In the next section, we're going to break down what these four essential pillars are, why each one is critical, how they interact, and why ignoring even one is a risk you can't afford to take. When you first learn how to scuba dive, the very first thing you're taught isn't how to explore shipwrecks or swim with dolphins. It's simply how to breathe underwater. Sounds obvious, right? Almost too basic, but it's the foundation of everything else. Without mastering this first principle, nothing else matters. The same is true for multifamily investing. Nearly every mentor book, course, spends a huge amount of time here because what you buy is the first thing, the most intuitive step to understand. It's where your journey begins. For us, the Kitty Sisters, mastering our buy box has been a journey, one that shaped how we grew from our early deals to the portfolio where we manage today. When we first started, we bought assets like Regency Oaks, a C-class property in a secondary market. The price looked attractive. On paper, it felt like a bargain, but the reality was different. Higher operational risk, tougher tenant bases, and constant challenge that squeezed cash flow and eroded upside. Every game was a hard-fought battle. Contrast that with another one of our properties, an A-class asset in a prime, fast-growing market. At that property, the strength was baked in from the beginning. Stronger tenant demand, high rent resilience, better surrounding economics, institutional-grade buyers waiting at the exit. Because we bought in the right location at the right price with the right fundamentals, the growth came faster and smoother. Not because we got lucky, but because the buy box was defined, disciplined, and strategic. Today, our buy box is laser focused. We focus on prime assets in emerging cities that have opportunity for long-term value appreciation. We focus on markets with population growth, job creation, and business expansion, where demand is baked into the future. We buy at prices that leave room for organic appreciation and non-physical value creation, not heavy lifting renovation required in older, distressed C-class deals. It's not about finding good deal in a vacuum. Mastering the buy box is like mastering the first underwater breath. It feels basic at first, but it's what everything else builds upon. And while getting this first pillar right is essential, it's only the beginning. Because to survive and thrive in multifamily investing, especially in today's environment, you'll need more than just a great first step. In fact, I argue that you can still fail, just like the Citicorp Center almost did, if you only focus on this first pillar. Every beginner starts here and most stop here, and that might just be their fatal flaw. Yet even getting this right, finding the perfect property, only sets the stage for the next deeper challenge, the capital stack. Finding the right deal, defining your buy box, is where the journey begins. But the next step is where many investors get tripped up, because even the perfect asset can become a sinking ship if not funded correctly. That's why the second pillar is a capital stack. The capital stack isn't just about raising money. It's about matching the right type of capital to the right type of business plan. And equally important, matching the timing of your financing to the realities of your project. This includes big decisions like, should you lock in fixed rate debt with predictable interest rate, even if it comes with a longer term than your actual business plan? Or should you use floating rate debt, purchase a rate cap to protect against spikes, and keep your exit strategy more flexible? Each option can be right depending on the asset, hold strategy, and market environment. It's the same with leverage. Should you maximize leverage by amplifying returns during the growth cycle, or stay conservative to weather volatility and downturns? And extends beyond closing capital. How much equity do you really need to raise upfront? How much working capital and reserves should you hold? Not if you need it, but when you need it. When we first got started, I was naive. On one deal, we actually turned down and returned extra capital that investors wanted to place with us. At the time, we thought we'd already raised enough money. What we didn't anticipate was how rapidly the interest rate environment could shift and how expensive it would become to operate in this new reality. A few months later, we started staring down a much tighter cash position and just realized that extra $300,000 we pass on would have gone a very long way. It got even more painful when it came to our rate cap. Initially, we paid around $500,000 for a two-year rate cap at 1% to 1.5% the second year. But when those 2 years expired, just as rates were spiking, a replacement cap cost over nearly $1 million at a 3% strike. Had we purchased a three-year or even a five-year cap up front, we would have locked in our protection and saved a fortune. A lot of the so-called gurus out there are doing a massive disservice to new investors by making it sound like these multi-million dollar complexes will somehow run themselves on autopilot. Let me be clear, that is the furthest thing from the truth. A dear friend of ours taught us early on that this business, at its core, is all about operations. But here's a big clarification we want to make. Operational excellence does not mean Nan and I are working the leasing office ourselves or fixing leaky toilets. Operational excellence is about building the right team to do the right work and actually leading them effectively. We focus heavily on the Pareto principle, the idea that 80% of the results come from 20% of the effort. That's why we live by the 3 Ds: delegate, delete, and dominate. As leaders, our role isn't to get trapped in the day by day. It's to be visionaries, to see 3, 5, or even 8 moves ahead. Just like a good friend recently told us, you guys are playing chess 5 to 8 moves ahead of everyone else. And that's not by accident, it's by design. Being a great asset manager means having a well-articulated and simple business plan and making sure the plan is crystal clear across the entire organization. It's not enough for us to know the vision. Our on-site team must know it and believe in it just as strongly. And that's where things can get challenging. Because many third-party property management companies properties don't always have the right incentives aligned with yours. Think about it. If the property performs too well, the owner might sell and the management company loses the account. If the property performs too poorly, the owner fires them. So where do many stay? Right in the middle, in the meh zone. And under mediocre leaders, meh often gets tolerated. But not with us. We don't believe in tolerating mediocrity. We believe in working with the best and turning down good to make room for great. For example, one of our properties recently achieved a 900 plus reputation score, a major achievement that didn't happen by accident. For context, the national average reputation score for multifamily properties typically falls in the 600s. This isn't just about pride or winning awards. A high reputation score directly boosts the property's performance. It drives higher leasing traffic, it increases conversion rates, and allows higher rental rates, and it reduces tenant turnover, one of the biggest hidden costs in multifamily, all of which feeds directly into NOI, net operating income, boosting the property's top line income and compounding its long-term enterprise value. And it was possible because we hired the right management team, enforced operational excellence, and refused to settle for good just to save a few dollars up front. Great operations aren't an expense, they're an investment. An investment that pays off not just month to month, but in millions of dollars in added value when it's time to exit. And we don't just hope things weren't smoothly. We inspect what we expect. At the Kitty Sisters, we have a dedicated team that tracks granular financial details, everything from leasing activities to expense management to delinquency rates. But at the ownership and leadership level, we obsess over two critical numbers, net operating income, NOI, and net cash flow trends. If those two numbers are strong, if NOI and cash flow are hitting or exceeding projections, it tells us almost everything we need to know. Leasing velocity is high. Collections are healthy. Expenses are under control. The business plan is executing properly. The property is moving towards its value creation goals. It's just like a doctor checking your pulse and blood pressure. You don't need to do a full body MRI every day. If the vitals are good, the system is healthy. NOI and net cash flow are the vitals of multifamily investing. That's why we track them religiously, monitoring not just in isolation, but as trends over time, always measuring against our underwriting assumptions and monthly forecasts. When these numbers deviate, even slightly, we don't sit back and hope they fix themselves. We dig deep, diagnose fast, and take decisive actions before small leaks become a major breach. Because in multifamily, the earlier you catch the problem, the cheaper and easier it is to fix it. Operational excellence isn't optional. It's not a luxury. It's an engine that powers everything. And without it, even the best property and the best financing can't save you. The first three pillars, the buy box, the capital stack, and the operational excellence can absolutely make you money. They build the foundation for strong cash flow and steady returns over time. But let's be honest, the biggest paycheck of all comes at the end, at the exit. That's what we all work towards. The exit is where years of planning, patience, and execution finally crystallize into the major wealth building event. But here's where it gets a little controversial. You see, we don't always aim for the highest possible exit price. And you know why? Because no one, no matter how smart, can predict the perfect top of the market. Conditions can change so fast that trying to squeeze every last drop from the lemon can leave you holding a moldy, rotten lemon. When it comes to exits, we have to consider multiple variables. Is the exit profitable? Will it hit or exceed our original projected returns? Are buyers currently in a buying frenzy or retreating cautiously? Would a huge prepayment penalty lop off a huge chunk of our profit? What does the next 6 to 12 months look like for interest rates, buyer demand, and lending conditions? Are there looming capital expenditures like roof replacement, major renovations, or city code upgrades? How strong is our reserve position? Because a rainy day will always come, even in the driest places. Let me tell you a story to bring this all home. A few years ago, Nan and I traveled to Uluru, Katachuta National Park in Australia, one of the darkest, clearest places on Earth. We booked a special stargazing tour months in advance, excited to see the Milky Way like never before. Locals probably told us that it hasn't rained there in over 10 years. But guess what? The night we arrived, the special night, the one night we booked, it rained. If rain can find its way to the middle of the desert after a decade of drought, rainies will find your real estate deals too. It's not a matter of if, but when. And you have to be prepared. Exit decisions are no different. You have to weigh what you projected at the beginning, not just what you wish could happen now. We've been fortunate. Out of the 10 assets we've acquired, we've exited 3. And with each case, we've hit or exceeded our return expectations. Why? Because we've anchored our decisions back to our original projections, our original business plan, not market hype, not wishful thinking. And here's a cautionary tale from closer to home. We once invested passively in a deal. A few years ago, I asked a general partner if he was considering selling. He laughed it off, practically swatting the idea away like a bloodthirsty mosquito. He'd gotten offers, he said, but he refused to sell. His belief? Give it a few more years and it'll be worth way more. Fast forward to 2025, the market shifted, interest rates spiked, property value dropped, reserves ran low, and they had to pause cash flow distributions altogether. The opportunity to exit well, while it was there, was lost. The lesson is simple but powerful. Hold as long as it makes sense, but never let greed or hope override the business plan you commit to when you bought the property. And there's a deeper reason behind this philosophy, one that's rooted in human psychology. In the book, The Paradox of Choice, Barry Schwartz explained that there are two types of decision makers. The satisfiers are those who recognize recognize when a decision is good enough, appreciate it, and move forward with confidence and peace of mind. Maximizers are those who endlessly chase the best possible outcome. Even when they succeed, they often feel regret, dissatisfaction, anxiety, believing they could have done even better. The problem for maximizers is simple. There is no such thing as a perfect outcome. No one times the top perfectly. No one predicts every twist and turns. If you anchor yourself to chasing the absolute maximum, whether it's price, cap rate, or timing, you really miss opportunity to exit, sell the property because you're chasing ghosts that you can't catch. Satisfiers, on the other hand, know how to recognize a true win and they capture it. They act decisively, they protect their gains, and they move forward without regret. That's why when it comes to exits, we anchor back to simple criteria, clear benchmarks, and focused execution. And for us, the exit is the most exciting part of the entire journey because it's the moment we get to deliver on the faith our investors place in us. Up until this point, everything is academic, spreadsheet projections, plans, theories. But the exit, that's when it all becomes real. There's no better feeling than sending millions of dollars back to our investors, knowing that we kept our word, fulfilled our vision, and helped create real financial freedom for people who trusted us. I'll never forget one particular Thanksgiving week. Some of our investors received their distribution deposit right before the holiday. They called us and the voice practically giddy with excitement, saying things like, "Thank you for doing this. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you for making this happen for us." And that's when it hit me. This is what it's about. Not just doing deals, not just growing a portfolio, but delivering. Winning. And here's the truth, your family deserves the best, but they can only have it if you're willing to become the best. And I'm not talking about being better than anyone else. I'm talking about being the best in your lane, in your business, in your category, period. And how do you measure that? Profit. If you want to win, stack profits.
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.